This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, episode number 650. 650, this is a landmark. 650, before you know it, we'll be at 1650, and then we'll be at 2650, and it goes on from there. Thank you so much for listening. We so much appreciate our listeners, and we appreciate your reviews and kind words and telling your friends about the show, and of course your business, because so many of you are investing in properties in select, proven, linear, conservative, prudent markets around the U.S., the markets we like and we recommend. And like I always say, there are markets that we'd like to be in that we are not in because we do not have a good team in those markets. You may see other people out there promoting these markets, and those may be good markets. But if you do not have a good team and you do not have quality rehab and quality property management and quality warranties, you are going to experience trouble. I've been doing this for many, many years. We have thousands and thousands of transactions under our belt. And believe me, that is the advice you want to go with. It's not just about the market. It's also about the team. And speaking of which, I just wanted to share a kind note here before we get to our guest today, who, by the way, is the famous John Tesh. Yes, you've heard of John Tesh, the actor, the musician, the guy who got lucky enough to marry the very glamorous Connie Selica, the actress, remember, from Hotel and all of her other days in show business. He's just a great guy, super gracious, and really shares a lot of good thoughts in his interview. Remember, this is a 10th episode show today, so we go off topic, and we don't just talk about real estate. We have a guest that's of general life interest and life success, and John Tesh definitely has an amazing story. So we'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, a few times a week, I receive what I guess you'd call fan mail. And I so much appreciate getting these. And I just thought I'd share this one with you real quickly because I think it's instructive on a couple ways about investing, but also about something I promised to stop talking about so much. We'll get to that in a moment. Well, you know what I'm going to say. It's that doggone autonomous self-driving car thing. Yes, I'm going to shut up about that. Remember, listeners, for those of you who've been with us for the last 649 episodes, remember when I got on that kick about precious metals and I kept talking about gold and silver and they were reaching, you know, these big glorious highs and all of the gold bugs and the silver bugs were out there saying, oh, buy metals, the world's coming to an end. And I told you not to. And I was right. I was right, at least thus far. You could buy all of those metals much cheaper today than you could back then. And I was talking about how income property is the most historically proven asset class in the world, and how really, post-Great Recession, it was the best performing asset class on the planet. I mean, even in bad times, because it's a multi-dimensional asset class. And I was talking about that, and people thought I was crazy. I would get the most vociferous arguments. Hartman, you're a fool. You know, gold is the thing, and you got to buy some silver coins and some gold coins and all of this. And I debunked that a whole bunch of different ways. And I admit that I got on a bit of a kick about it. Maybe some of you thought it was a little bit obsessive, but hopefully I drove the point home and you followed my advice. Because if you did, you won big. I saved you from losing a lot of money. So I'm going to reach over, pat myself on the back here. And I think this autonomous vehicle thing's a big thing, but I promise I'm not going to bore you with it so much, okay? That's why I have been stressing it and talking about it so much on prior episodes, but we're going to change the focus. Anyway, there's a little bit about that in this very nice email I got. So this email comes from John and Kristen. They asked me not to mention their last name on the show, but again, thank you so much, John and Kristen, for the nice note. I think this will be instructive to you as well. So before we get to John Tesh, I'll just read this. It's fairly long, so I might have to paraphrase it a little bit to just move the show along here. But first of all, the subject line is heartfelt thanks. Dear Jason, this is a note of thanks, a shared story, and an offer of a gift. First, Kristen and I would like to extend multiple thanks to you and your team for all the inspiration and guidance provided over the past 6+ months. We started listening to your Creating Wealth podcast about a year ago as we stepped into our first solo buy and hold investment. Needless to say, we quickly learned that while we were moving in the right direction, the first investment was driven more by an appreciation target than stable cash flow. We gained knowledge and understanding from the podcast. Kristen got more excited about running the business of acquiring buy and hold properties. She attended your course in San Diego in August. That was the JHU, Jason Hartman University course. We just did one of those in Salt Lake City too. I think you can tell when I'm not reading right. That's just my comment. And later joined your Meet the Masters in January. In between, she bought 4 single-family residences in Memphis through 2 of your local market specialists. Thank you, number 1, for the great events in San Diego, and thank you, number 2, for helping us get on the right track in safer linear markets. Carrie, by the way, you heard Carrie on the show recently a couple of times, and she's one of our investment counselors, and so they're working with Carrie. Carrie has been a great advisor, staying in touch and being available for the random question from time to time. It really is nice to know there is someone we can reach out to when needed and who acts as an advocate on our behalf. Thank you, number 3. We had the great pleasure of having lunch with Fernando earlier this week, a wonderful 90 minutes of learning, sharing, and brainstorming. I was inspired by his story through the podcast, as I also work far too many hours and travel far too much for a similar Silicon Valley giant. So another Silicon Valley guy here. Fernando's genuine kindness and willingness to share experiences and advice is of itself inspiring. Thank you, number 4, for being the catalyst to our meeting, Fernando. You know, folks, I got to tell you, you've heard our different investment counselors on the show before, whether it be Sarah or Oliver or Carrie or Fernando. And I mean, we have such a great team of people. They really care. And I know you hear that crap all the time in the marketplace, but it is really true. I know it is. That's our first priority of our investment counselors, is to take good care of our clients. Okay, on with the email here. Then there is your comprehensive perspective on the world. I have listened to many different podcasts. Oh, why are you listening to any other podcast? No, I've listened to many different podcasts and have learned over the past year that you are not really a quote guru unquote. There are many in real estate, certainly, but guru in this business usually connotes something negative. Instead, you share tremendous insights about the world, politics, economics, etc., that go far beyond real estate, which demonstrates a dedication to lifelong learning and sharing across a broad spectrum of topics. See, folks, I go on those tangents. At least we know a couple of people like it. Okay, back to the email. This simply reinforces that your intentions are sincere versus the many guru types who seem more singular in thought and purpose. We had the opportunity to live in Frankfurt for 5 years. See, my home country, Germany, that's where I was born. And I have been traveling intercontinentally to Asia and Europe for most of my professional career and feel we know something about our world. However, our knowledge pales in comparison to what we learn from your show and guests. Thank you, number five, for the inspired teaching. Now, for a shared story. I agree it may be prudent to reduce references to the autonomous vehicle for general listeners, but it is real and it will be disruptive. We were one of the early adopters of the Tesla, purchasing ours in August of 2013, just when we returned from Germany. 2.5 years later, I still really enjoy driving the car, although being an early adopter did have its penalty, since the Model S built before November of 14 do not have autopilot capability. Nonetheless, the autonomous vehicle will reduce borders, free up time, add flexibility to our lives, and improve quality of life, at least for those who hate sitting in traffic. Not me, of course, since I drive a Tesla and listen to your podcast. Well, thank you. Glad I can make traffic a little more bearable for all of you. Or maybe working out. If you don't like getting yourself to the gym, I've heard a lot of people listen to my show at the gym as well. I also see this as a significant disruptor to the established auto manufacturers in the automobile industry. Just imagine that we can drive to work, then send our cars home to be used by our family members. Or, as you have pointed out, we jump into the nearest available autonomous car and go where we want. Even if people travel more by car as a result of the increased convenience, the number of assets can be drastically reduced. It is all about utilization, and the two-car or three-car family has a horrible utilization of their four-wheeled assets, not to mention that they also rapidly decrease in value. By the way, a little side note on that, folks, and I may have mentioned this on the show before, but I've heard that the typical car is unused 96% of the time. Literally, out of that asset, you're only getting 4% utilization. That's amazing. This is all about to change, right? Okay, back to the email. Perhaps you recently heard the rumor that Uber ordered 100,000 autonomous vehicles for $10 billion from Mercedes for first deliveries in 2020. If this is true, and I'm sure it is, many caveats, but it represents a glimpse into the future. It is a great time to be alive. Folks, you know, I mean, this is coming so fast. 2020 is only 4 years away. And if Uber gets a hold of 100,000 autonomous vehicles, if it really arrives that quickly, that's all, you know, caveats mentioned by John here in the email, it is going to be a massive, massive game changer for real estate. Of course, you know, the three primary rules since the beginning of time for real estate are location, location, location. All right, just have to say that for newer listeners that may not have heard us talk about this before. Okay, we're wrapping this email up. Lastly, we would like to offer a gift. After buying the Tesla and getting sucked into the forum discussions at TeslaMotors.com or TeslaMotorsClub.com, I designed a wall bracket to support the weight of the charging cable controller, which we sell on the forum. Now, this is interesting, folks, okay? Listen to his email, because it's also a glimpse into the future right here that this is all done with a 3D printer, okay? So here we go. Although it started out as a fun project with another very cool technology toy, the 3D printer, we turned it into a little business for our son. He receives, manufactures, and fulfills and does the accounting on all the orders. Isn't this amazing, folks? You can put your kid to work in this little side business. It's an amazing time to be alive. We could never do that before. Okay, back to the email. It is not the most efficient business. Takes about 9 hours to print one bracket. Okay, so, you know, but with industrial 3D printers, you can do it faster, obviously. And the thing is, you can totally customize them. Okay, back to the email, Jason. Stop talking. Okay, read the email. But it provides him business experience while earning a little money. We would like to give you one of our brackets as another way of saying thank you. Here is a quick link to the post showing our bracket. So just let us know which design you like, lightning bolt or diamond design, and what color you would prefer. If the color exists in 3D filament, we can make it. And there's the link, Tesla Motors Club, and it's the wall bracket. Anyway, he concludes with saying, Jason, thank you again for all the inspiration. We are still learning, miles to go, but excited to be on the journey. All the best, John and Kristen. John and Kristen, thank you so much for the kind words. I really appreciate it. I love to get these emails. Of course, it gets me out of bed and keeps me working and doing this stuff. This game is long ago not about money anymore. It's just about doing something and helping people get away from the Wall Street modern version of organized crime, right? I appreciate it. And we love all of you listeners and clients. And thank you so much for your continued support. So appreciate the note. And just listeners, though, isn't that interesting? That little 3D printing side business where it's made to order. By the way, I got back to John and I said, hey, I'd love one of those wall brackets for my Tesla charger. And I would like red with the lightning bolt pattern. And he said, oh, it's already being made. On demand, artisan quality manufacturing, just-in-time delivery. I mean, think of how that is going to change the world. We talk all about these other technologies, but 3D printing is a game changer that may well bring a lot of jobs back to America, the artisan type jobs. Read the book that I absolutely love by Chris Anderson, who I love all his books. So far as I know, he's only got three, one called The Long Tail, the other called Free. That's just the name of the book. It's called Free. And the other called Makers. And the Makers book is his last one. He owns the TED Conference, by the way. He was also, I don't think he still is, the editor of Wired Magazine. And the guy is just brilliant. He's so interesting. I want to get him on the show. We haven't done that yet. We need to. But really fascinating guy. And in Makers, he talks all about the 3D printing revolution. I read that when I was in Europe a couple years ago and talked about it on the show right after that trip. So you might go to jasonhartman.com and find the episode about Makers. Just search Makers in the search bar on our website, and that'll be great. Okay, we've got to get to our guest, but again, we've got our Jekyll Island Venture Alliance trip coming up. So join us for that. That's where the Federal Reserve was created. And by the way, I just finished a documentary that you will love. I think we should invite the director onto the show, maybe some of the people who commented on there, but that is Money for Nothing. Money for Nothing documentary. It's free on Netflix. Check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. Talks all about the Federal Reserve. And we are going to the birthplace of that creature from Jekyll Island. By the way, G. Edward Griffin is coming back on the show again. He's the author of that book. He's been on a couple of times. We are going to have our next Venture Alliance meeting there on Jekyll Island. So you can join us as a guest. Go to VentureAllianceMastermind.com for more info on that. Of course, be sure you check out Property Tracker software. You can get that through the Jason Hartman website on the resources page and the Property Evaluator app in the iTunes app store for iPad and iPhone. Some good stuff there to help you be a better investor. Okay, let's get to our guest, John Tesh. It's my pleasure to welcome a name you are certainly familiar with, and that is Mr. John Tesh. He is host of Intelligence for Your Life TV and the John Tesh Radio Show. It's heard by over 15 million people across the U.S. and Canada. He's former host of Entertainment Tonight, the Olympic Games, Wimbledon, U.S. Open Tennis, Tour de France, and the Ironman Triathlon, and writer of the NBA and NBC basketball theme, Roundball Rock, which is regarded as one of the most memorable sports themes of all time. He's winner of 6 Emmys and 2-time Grammy nominee, recipient of the Associated Press Award for Investigative Journalism, the New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author of Intelligence for Your Life, powerful lessons for personal growth. John, welcome. Is there anything you don't do? You are a Renaissance man.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I think my dad, often said, why don't you just pick a lane? But I've always been sort of an ADD personality, so I love doing different things. And a lot of them are connected too. A lot of the music that I was writing was the sports themes were when I was a sports announcer for CBS.
Right, right. But it's very rare that you'll have a sports announcer doing the music, right? And then acting and different things, and you've got your media company, and then you're writing books too.
I think the most ridiculous thing is that I went to North Carolina State and studied physics and chemistry.
Oh.
Because my parents were convinced that I would starve to death as a musician.
Right.
So that was in my junior year, right when the courses started getting really complicated and difficult with organic chemistry and quantitative analysis, I found television and radio 101. I was like, I think I'll do
this. That's easier and more glamorous, right?
Well, it's also one of those things where you can, you start at the beginning of the day and then you can have a finished product at the end of the night. And now with software, you can have a finished product in an hour. But back then it was, I enjoyed that. It really fit my lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. So if you had to answer the question nowadays, what is your main thing? What would you say to that question?
I think our fans and friends would say that our main thing is radio, because we've been doing it for 15 years and we were on for, Connie and I both are on for 36 hours a week. And so a lot of people hear that. We just started television a couple of years ago, but I would say, if you asked, if it was the Newlywed Game and you asked my wife what lights your husband up the most, professionally, it would be sitting behind a grand piano playing to an audience. It's a real opportunity, when people actually show up to listen to your music. And it was the thing I was doing when I was a little kid. I was always making little Broadway shows in my basement. So that's actually something I would love to do between now and the time I'm 6 feet under, is I'd love to write a Broadway musical, but that's probably the most difficult thing you could possibly do.
I figured you'd probably get in there back to your college days and do an addendum to the theory of relativity or something too, why not?
Yeah, I watched that movie. that's about as far as I got.
Yeah.
But it is interesting though that, that kind of work, when you're having to do that kind of homework, it's a good lesson for in anything you do, you need to do the research and do the homework. And I think that's why the radio show became a success so early on, is that we started it with 10 researchers, and we sort of ferret out all the great information that people need to live their lives better. And I think that the listeners appreciate the fact that we did the homework for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about that. I mean, what are you doing on the radio show? Is that all investigative journalism type stuff?
No, it's really all lifestyle. It's sort of like, you give us 2 minutes and we'll find something that you can use to enhance your life, to enhance the lives of those around you, or just broadcast it on your Facebook page. So it's the three ways to affair proof your marriage. It's the two ways to shrink your waistline, the five ways to find your purpose in life. And it's really, people call it bite-sized intelligence. Some people will tell us that they'll stay in their car, when they're driving home from work, and they'll sit in there because they want to hear the other
for an extra 2 minutes.
Things.
Yeah. Or 6 yeah. minutes in that case. Yeah.
We don't. Yeah. And we don't ever go. I'm a big fan of podcast listening, which is of course very, very popular now, but the way our show is, it's about 2 minutes of information, and then it's surrounded by music, and in all formats too. So it's on Christian stations. It's on classical stations. It's on talk stations, hard rock, hot AC, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So is that a new model for media? I mean, it's a new concept. Well, I guess in terms of the programming, you've got this bite-sized information, perfect for our attention restricted generation in which we live, or time in which we live. Everything's got to be bite-sized, so that 2-minute idea is great. But is there a model to the media or the syndication model that makes that different?
I think that the tough thing about syndication, especially in the television world, and we found this early on in the radio world too, is that it's the big companies that have 7 or 8 shows, and they'll come in and they'll go, and block booking, as it's called, is not legal, but they'll come in and they'll go, hey, you should take your Dr. Phil renewal and we'll give you a break on whatever, Arsenio Hall or something. I'm going back too far. But those guys are really, really powerful. So self-syndication can be tough. And we self-syndicate the radio show and also the TV show. But it's all about personal relationships. You know, the beauty of syndicated TV versus network or cable is that we could have a bad ratings book in Omaha. And then we could switch stations and go someplace else, or we're not, you know, Dallas doesn't really care about what's going on in Omaha. So we treat each market as a separate business. I think we got in early on the curation model, where, you know, there's so much information there now that you're seeing more and more people, and you see it on podcasts too, curating the information. You know, follow us as we curate, you know, and BuzzFeed does it too, although it's a little crazier there, is, you know, here are the five things that we found today for you. So I think that ultra curation model is something that you're seeing more and more of today.
What's interested me, John, is that we've got all these people that I'll call nowadays out there. You know, everybody's kind of their own little mini media company in a way. Certainly on social media, at least they are. But then you've got the podcasting thing. So it goes up from there up to the big time, like you and Connie, right? And everything in between. But we have all these sort of unlikely experts nowadays, where we've got people talking about, say, for example, health so much. And they're tons of podcasters out there that do that, for example, yet they have no actual academic background in it.
Credentials.
It's just a different world. And I'm not so sure that's a bad thing, because a lot of the credentialed people have led us wrong. We know that. It's hit and miss probably, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's you have to be really careful with that stuff. And even people with credentials sometimes will come out really, you know, too strong, too stridently, and say, hey, take this or take that, and it'll help you. Because they're, you know, what we found is we can interview a gastroenterologist on a Monday and then interview another one on a Wednesday, and they have a completely, you know, different feeling about what's happening inside your body. But one of the things
that's the reason I picked health, because it's a science.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, one of the things we're most careful about is not getting anything, quote unquote, off the internet. We make sure that we're either coming out of the Mayo Clinic or Cleveland Clinic and Harvard Wellness Review and interviewing, you know, credentialed PhDs and MDs. And since we've been doing it for long enough, and people know that it's like your podcast, you reach a lot of people. So people, you're going to get some with present company accepted. You're going to get some people who have something to say, and who also have the credentials behind it, and they've studied it. So that's the model that we use.
Yeah. Good stuff. So where are you going with that? Like, what are your plans with your media company? You know, it's kind of interesting. And as I ask you that, I'm thinking of these people that have really changed from what we'll call the mainstream media to alternative things, like Glenn Beck with his own company and Howard Stern leaving terrestrial radio to do XM. And gosh, you know, Oprah did it too. And it's pretty surprising, really. I mean, these are big people with huge audiences not doing the mainstream thing necessarily anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you had this, if you asked me, hey, what are your top three mistakes? You know, I'd say it's the same mistake 1, 2, and 3, and that is, you know, you, and I think this is sort of a human condition too for people who are not enlightened. And I've gotten better at this, but you know, you get to a certain level, and no matter what it is, whether you're, you know, okay, let's use me as an example. Whether you're playing in front of 10,000 people in a concert, or you're hosting Entertainment Tonight, you know, or you're doing a backyard a theater show for the rest of the 9-year-olds on your block, you always want something bigger, and you tend to get bored. And there's what I've really learned is that you have to, certainly for me, you really need to pick a lane and figure out what makes you happy, and what's fulfilling and what's purpose driven, and forget about the other stuff, because people always come to you and they say, hey, because it happened to me when I was doing Entertainment Tonight and I was doing my music at the same time, and it was a great place for me to be, right? Because ET opened doors for me, and I really enjoyed the rest of my day writing music and doing film scores. And they came to me and they said, hey, would you like to do a talk show with Lisa Gibbons? You know, and at the time I was also working with Mary Hart, and I was like, they threw some money at me, and I'm like, yeah, and it was just the wrong decision. I think a lot of us make decisions and we get you get lured into doing more stuff, and the most successful people I think are the ones that stay focused, and that's why books like Al Reese's Focus and Differentiate or Die are so popular. But I mean, what you're really talking about is, hey, listen, Stern, Howard Stern made a decision that was really right for the time, and I know that I know him, so I know that he agonized over that. And it was the right decision for him, because he already had a massive following. But we've seen, I mean, I think she would admit it too. We've seen people like Katie Couric, who's also a friend, who, you know, maybe got lured for, I mean, if the first female anchor, solo anchor, you know, a television anchor, that may have lured her in, and gosh, I loved her on the Today Show. I would have watched her, you know, forever. But it's what happens to us, is we get like, I want to make a difference. I want to make a change. And sometimes it's not the right career move.
Right. We have to temper that. And it's always,
yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's interesting because I have the same sort of entrepreneurial ADD that I guess you have. You do a lot of things. I do a lot of things too, and have these different businesses that sort of tie together, but not completely. And you think in a way, gosh, that's bad. The old saying, to follow, you know, without halt, one aim, that is the road to success. We all certainly know the concept of focus. Al Reese, who I'm a huge student of, he's been on the show before. I love his work, he and Jack Trout. You look at someone like Richard Branson's got like 400 companies, right? I don't know. Maybe focus is overrated. Maybe it's not. I'm really just being with the question. I'm not sure.
Well, he has the stomach for that, I think. And if you've read his book, Like a Virgin, you know, he actually makes the point of how many of those businesses failed. I think he also picks great people. You know, you have to be that guy so he picks great people to run those companies, and then he goes off and, you know, and gets into space. You know, there's a guy who's 35 year old kid who I've known since he was 26, who is really just sort of tearing up the hip hop and Broadway and Broadway musical world. His name is Lin-Manuel Miranda. And he wrote the musical by himself, and with orchestration and arrangement help from Alex Lacamoire, called Hamilton. And it's based on Ron Chernow's book, but he was interviewed on CBS, and you're like, how could one person, it's 46 songs, this musical, you know, and it's the hottest ticket and will be forever, probably. How does one person do this? You know, and his thing was, to Charlie Rose, I picked a lane and I stayed in that lane until I got what I wanted, and distractions came about, you know, all over me, you know.
John, so, I mean, you're obviously a very seasoned person in the world of media and so forth. Do you see that there's this big change of, like, with agents and managers and record labels and production companies, and the sort of do-it-yourself, self-syndication, self-promotion model? And how much are you doing that? Like, for example, does a guy like you have an agent nowadays?
I don't, not anymore. I did for a while. But we sort of, and this is not like, Taylor Swift or somebody saying, okay, I'm not going to have, and she hasn't done this, but I'm not going to have an agent, or Macklemore, saying, I'm not going to release my album through a record company. Cause these guys, well, especially Taylor Swift, they're already very, very successful. The only reason I started my own record company, and the only reason I started, you know, my family and I started our own radio syndication company, was that we couldn't get anybody to hire us. You know, I have
awesome.
All of the, that's the other reason people do this. You know, I had, you know, 6 or 7 really good rejection letters, including from Clive Davis and Arista Records, saying, I'm sorry, you know, we're not going to be releasing this type of music. And so you find another path, you know, and my path was through PBS, for the music thing. And then for radio, it was just getting on the phone and calling up general managers and saying, hey, you can have the show free for 3 months. I also think, as you know, that you know, YouTube has opened up a lot of channels for people to, and The Voice and American Idol, of course, to showcase their talents. And so the agent thing is not, it's not totally necessary.
Right, right. It's great though. I mean, I love that. The fact that there really is no gatekeeper anymore. You can go direct to the marketplace and the marketplace can decide if they want to buy your content or, you know, not. That seems like a great model to me. It's very democratic.
It is, and we're also seeing it with Indiegogo and now Seed Invest, where, you know, people can make investments in your company and actually get, instead of just a keychain, they can actually get equity in your company now.
Right, right. A keychain, the perk for the backers on Kickstarter. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's amazing how things are changing. I mean, we are really living in an amazing time. Who would have thought it would have worked out this way? You know, it's really amazing how different it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's also as my you know, songwriting composition teachers taught me. It can be garbage in, garbage out. You know, one of the things with the computers has allowed us is you can write a whole symphony of nonsense if you want. So it's, you know, the rules still apply, I think, of writing a good book, writing a good song, writing a musical, whatever. You still have to get to that place that was established many years ago.
No question. You got to put out quality, but you can get it to the marketplace nowadays.
Yep, yep.
And it can go viral for better or worse. There's a lot of stuff that's junk out there that still goes viral. But yeah, any tips you want to share with people about that do-it-yourself thing? I mean, you had to be just very motivated to do that after, you know, this very successful career that you've had to sort of start this new business that's go out there and what were you making sales calls? I mean,
yeah, for sure. We still do. I think you mentioned, Al Reese,
sure.
R-I-E-S,
he's been on the show,
who you've interviewed, and Jack Trout. Jack Canfield wrote a great book called Success Principles. He's of course the guy from Chicken Soup for Your Soul. When I was a kid, I was very much into reading biographies, and I highly recommend that, whether it's a Benjamin Franklin or Houdini or anything that you're interested in. If you could watch any movie right now, it'd be the last movie you'd watch in your life, it would be Gladiator. You know, I love that against all odds, type of story. There are some great biographies out there, and you can just use them to set up a template for your life. You know, I mean, maybe you won't do everything that Benjamin Franklin did, but you'll be inspired. And I use that as a tool. It was Pete Docter who on the most recent Oscars, who came up and said, "Hey, listen," and when he was holding his Oscar in his hand, and he said, "Listen out there, you know, you might not make money doing it right away, but just make something every day, create something, write something, build something," and it got a huge applause, because that's really what. If you're a creative person, and even if you just want to be a creative person, you know, make a movie, write it like Diane Warren says, write a song every day, even if it's a piece of crap. I think that would be my advice, would be just to get busy, because I think we consume so much information about how-to books, and I'm guilty of this too, how to do this, how to manage your time, whatever. Just, you know, pick a goal and accomplish it in 1 week and make it something you're truly interested in.
That is great advice. And, you know, it ties in with a book I'm reading now called The Original, or just called Originals, by Adam Grant. You probably know about this. You're obviously a very well-read guy. But he talks about all these famous people, including Einstein, who just put a lot of volume of work out there that really wasn't renowned at all. I mean, I never knew that about Einstein. You know, he put a lot of junk out there, frankly, or not, I don't want to say it was total junk, but it was just a lot of stuff that no one was interested in. And then if you put a big volume of work out there, there will be those few things that really get some play and really get some attention. So I think part of it is definitely volume and not becoming the the consumer of content always, you got to be the creator, right? Not just learning, reading the how-to books.
For sure. And I think it was, I'll mess up his quote, but I think it was, Wayne Gretzky there, they're asking him about the same type of a question. And he said that, he went back and looked at what his, how many shots on goal he had taken, for the record breaking, goal scoring that he had done. It was like 70% of the shots didn't go in,
Right.
So to your point on Einstein, it makes, by the way, I just wrote down the originals. That's one I haven't read. There's Elizabeth, Gilbert just wrote a book called Magic. I'm about halfway through it, and it's about
a good one.
It is because it's a little new agey for me, but it's about how to let creative magic into your life, how to recognize it, how to put yourself in a position to, to receive that sort of meditative energy that's around you. Again, I'm not a new age guy, but
I agree.
You got to sort of take what you want and leave the rest.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That's very good. Good advice. Is Connie Selica, by the way, for those who don't know, that's John's wife. Is she involved, deeply in what you're doing now, or is she busy doing family stuff? What's her main thing? I'm just curious.
Connie is really she is the gatekeeper for what goes on the air. Not so much on my radio show, but certainly for hers. Hers is called Intelligence for Your Health, which is the weekend show. But as far as a television show, there's nothing that gets on the air without her approval. And she's really good at, does this make sense? Can it be said in fewer words, and will it be inspiring? Because that's the type of person she is. So she's the reason the radio show exists, because she's such a news junkie and she consumes so much information that when I was trying to get back into the radio world, and that's how I had started years ago, right when I got out of college, I noticed that on her side of the bed, when we were married for a couple of years, was these stacks of magazines, and they were all had sticky notes in there. I said, "Well, what's all this madness over here?" She goes, "Well, these are all the articles that I'm going to get to with my sticky notes, but I haven't had time." And I said, "Well, why don't we create a show for that person who really wants that intelligence?" That's really where Intelligence for Your Life came from, because, at the time she was a 34-year-old woman. That's right in our sweet spot of the audience that advertisers want from us.
Yeah, that's great. That's excellent, excellent stuff. I'm curious, how did you two meet?
Do you
share that story?
Yeah, sure. We met in a. I was doing a project with Lisa Gibbons for IBM. And we were in Palm Springs, which for people who don't know is about 2.5 hours outside of Los Angeles in the desert. So I was doing an event there. She was shooting a show for CBS called PS I Love You, where she played an ex-convict who was helping Greg Evigan catch thieves. It was a great role. And I was on CBS primetime. And so, I walked into the gym at the hotel where she was shooting and where my event was, and she was on the bicycle and going into a gym, and I had my white t-shirt on with mustard stains on it and really bad socks, and I went over and pretended to,
you're probably over exaggerating.
6'6", just sort of really geeky with glasses that have gaffer tape on them, and I looked like a coder, and so I went in there and I pretended I saw her out of the corner of my eye. I'm never going to talk to her, way out of my league. And as I was walking out, she said, John Tesh, is that you? And I sort of whipped around and I said, oh, Connie Selica, I didn't see you there. And in her typical Bronx fashion, she says, well, we're the only two people in the gym. How did you miss me? And we started. It's a long story because we've been married for 24 years. But that's how it got started. Boy, if she hadn't said something to me, I would have walked right out of her life, and that would have been the end of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's a great story. Glad it worked out, and she took the initiative there. That's great.
Well, that's what you and beautiful women wonder why, how come nobody asked me out? That's the reason.
Yeah. Right. Well,
because we're scared out of our minds.
There's a lot to that. There's a lot to that. No question about it. No question. Well, good stuff, John. What else would you like people to know as we wrap up?
Yeah, I think that, one of the things I love to talk about is the fact that, I've spent so much of my life doing stuff and just sort of jumping out of the airplane without a parachute, and then sort of building it on the way down. I think that's a fun approach to things. But what I've really learned, and whether it's and it's from doing the radio show every day, right? So it's like 5 hours of radio a day, is whether it's your relationship or whether it's your waistline or your parenting, whatever, the value of really good research, you know, and surrounding yourself with people that are much better. Like if you see me in concert, everybody, you know, there's like 12 people on stage and 11 of them are a lot better than me. I remember, I'll leave you with this. I remember when I was covering ski racing for CBS Sports, and I got paid to follow the U.S. ski team around the world. And Billy Kidd, who was a silver medalist, downhiller, he was my color commentator, and we're on these amazing mountains, you know, in the Swiss Alps and Italian Alps and everywhere. And I said, Billy, you got to teach me how to ski. And he goes, I'll do that. And I said, come on, we're on these, I can ski, but you got to teach me how to be a better skier. He goes, I'll tell you what, you just follow me everywhere I go. Just do what I do and follow me everywhere I go. And I became, you know, a much, much, much better skier. So I think that there's a, you know, there's something in there about pick somebody that you quote unquote in the field where you want to be and study everything that they do. And you know what that is? That's apprenticeship. And that was so popular back in the 1600s, 1700s. We don't do that anymore. And I think that now you can do it. You can do it by reading a book. You can do it by watching a YouTube video. You can do it by going on lynda.com and learning how to run software. So that would be my advice. What I'd love to leave you with is just, I think the more of that that you can do, the better you can be at anything.
I think that is great advice.
Ski behind somebody.
Yeah, ski behind someone. Yeah, definitely. Model someone. So your website's tesh.com, TESH.com, and then teshmusic.com. Are those the two you want to share?
Well, I mean, the site that we've just built that where we've taken all, because we had like 2,600 videos that we've made with our experts and with Connie Gibb and I. And it's IFYL, which stands for Intelligence for Your Life, can't even say it, ifylondemand.com, and that's where all the on-demand videos are.
Excellent. Yeah, you've got tons of material there. I'm looking at that site now. Good stuff. Yeah, great. Well, John Tesh, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we so much appreciate you sharing some of this with us, and I just wish you the best.
Thanks, Jason. It's been cathartic for me. You know, sometimes you don't know how you feel about something until, because you don't walk around going, how do you feel about, you know, you're like, you don't do that to yourself. So when somebody asks you, it opens up your own mind. Thank you.
Well, next time you come on, I'll have you sit back on the couch and I'll ask you about your childhood. Okay.
My childhood is very similar to what I'm doing now. So it would probably be redundant.
That's great. Good stuff. John Tesh, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jason.
I've never really thought of Jason as subversive, but I just found out that's what Wall Street considers him to be.
Really? Now, how is that possible at all?
Simple. Wall Street believes that real estate investors are dangerous to their schemes because the dirty truth about income property is that it actually works in real life.
I know. I mean, how many people do you know, not including insiders, who created wealth with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Those options are for people who only want to pretend they're getting ahead.
Stocks and other non-direct traded assets are a losing game for most people. The typical scenario is you make a little, you lose a little, and spin your wheels for decades.
That's because the corporate crooks running the stock and bond investing game will always see to it that they win. This means, unless you're one of them, you will not win.
And unluckily for Wall Street, Jason has a unique ability to make the everyday person understand investing the way it should be. He shows them a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Yep, and that's why Jason offers a one-book set on creating wealth that comes with 20 digital download audios. He shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches you how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And this set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered for only $197.
To get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia Book 1, complete with over 20 hours of audio, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.